you say, you know what, they could use a great church. So those were also given to you by the ushers this morning. Be praying about who should we give that to, and keep them in your wallet, your purse, your mag, whatever it is, man bag, mag, whatever you got to pack them around with, because God will give you opportunity to invite people. I hand those things out like they were what? Licorice. I don't hand my licorice out. Okay, well, anyhow, you've got your insert there. Go ahead and pull it out so that you can follow along with me. Before we get started, we have got a special guest here with us today. Chris Boucher is here. Chris, you are back. Stand up where you're at, buddy. Oh, yeah. Chris is home. It is so good to have you home. Chris wants you to invite him out for lunches also after church on Sunday. Yes, you do. You absolutely. Look at how skinny he is. He disappeared, didn't he? Yeah, here he is right there. Yeah. So good. Yeah. God has done some great things in Chris's life, and we've been praying for you. We're happy to have you here.
So I was at Hotel California.
And I wasn't saying where you were at.
I learned a lot. I didn't teach anybody anything. I learned a lot about myself.
Yeah,
I went there for.
Yeah.
I'm back. I'm pretty good. I don't have the urge to get up and go get loaded.
Hallelujah. So,
Hallelujah.
Yeah,
a lot of changes. Yeah. I did a 180.
Hallelujah. Awesome. Awesome. I almost said Austin, but yeah, Austin is with us too. Man, it's like old home week around here. This is great. Okay. So I want to start off by introducing you to a pastor, okay? His name is Ivan. True story. He was a super pastor. And he was the senior pastor of his church. He did a really, really, really good job. He wanted to make an incredible impression. He had lots of energy, lots of vision, lots of just go get up and go. I want to just give you a recap of a typical Friday in Pastor Ivan's life, okay? And there is an operative word here. I think you're going to catch a hold of it. We have Linda Vincent Haler in the house too. Linda, she went from being in the hospital, being here. That is great. I don't even know if I want to get started with this. Don is here. Don was in the hospital and he's out and doing great. Man, thank you, Jesus. And for all of you that went and visited them, that is tremendous. Thank you for doing. Kevin is here. Kevin was in the hospital. What's going on with the hospital these days, anyhow? Yeah. So good to have you with us, brother. Amen. Super. So here we are recapping a typical day, Friday, in the life of Pastor Ivan. Here's the word. He had just finished, and this is his life. He had just finished gluing the clip art on the church newsletter that he had written so he could print the copies, so he could hand fold them, so he could put the mailing labels on each one of them, so he could go to the post office, so he could mail them out. Then he went back to the office where he then pulled the music overheads. Remember them? He photocopied the worship music, must not have had laws back then, and he stuck the stapled pages into the green choir folder so that when he led the rehearsal that night, the choir would have everything they needed. He told himself after he finished putting the finishing touches on his weekly sermon that he would swing by the hospital and visit someone's aunt who was having inner ear problems and then get back before dark so he could mow the church lawn. Oh, by the way, Pastor Ivan no longer pastors the church. How do I know? Because Ivan was my dad, I. Earl Mattson. He died of a heart attack Christmas Day 1985 after he'd been out shoveling the snow off the church parking lot 2 days before that, to get everybody ready for the Christmas Eve service. One of his members said at the funeral, Pastor Mattson gave so much of his heart away that he forgot to keep enough to live on. You go, Pastor, you go.
Yeah.
Oh, he's dead? You know what? He's not unusual. I personally know hundreds and hundreds of pastors who have burned themselves out in ministry. Just in the next 7 years, a third of pastors will not be pastoring anymore. They're trying their best to be super pastors. Did God really call them to be that? Now, I mean, to be totally honest, I'm not standing up here the picture of perfection in this area. I remember when God spoke to me, I was just a hard-charging, hard-working, multitasking pastor. And I can just so clearly remember the sound of God's voice as he just so kindly said to me, Harlan, you are an idiot. I said, excuse me? And he, as clearly as anything, you heard me. I said, you're an idiot. You are killing yourself. You are stifling the health and the vitality of your church because you think you're the one and the only, wait for it, super pastor. Oh my goodness. Yes. And then he continues with Romans chapter 12, verse 3. You preach this, son. How come you're not living it? Each of you should not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Now, in the context of that verse, I got to tell you that all around it is saying, if you have the gift of teaching, teach. If you have the gift of hospitality, be hospitable. If you can lead, lead. If you can encourage, then encourage. And I heard him say, Harlan, don't you get the point? I didn't give you all of the gifts. So don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. I gave you a couple of gifts, and I expect you to use those to their fullest. I'll tell you, in my experience, pastors are like corks, you know. They just keep the lid on the church. And there's all these little effervescent bubbles that are out there screaming, come on, pastor, let us out. Let us play. Let us use our gifts. Let us serve. Well, I don't know. It's got to go through me first. I'm not saying there's not a distinct difference between professional clergy and lay people, but I am saying that way too many times, pastors can oftentimes unknowingly allow people to put them up on priestly pedestals, which I think is horrifically unfair and unhealthy, both to the pastor and to the congregation. And in so many ways, I believe that we have completely missed the genius of God as he constructed and designed the church. The Bible says that God has given everybody that are Christians, he's bestowed upon you gifts. Everybody is an important part of Team Jesus. I am challenging you today as we finish up this series on living beyond myself, that you would actually get out of the proverbial stands and get onto the playing field. Because I gave up my need to lead and to do it all years ago. We have a leadership team here at 180 Church. Our desire is to help everyone discover their gifts in the church, discover what it is that God has implemented and placed within them, and then to encourage them to begin finding places that they can serve in areas of ministry that they are deeply passionate and gifted about, that brings incredible satisfaction to their life and blesses the 180 Church family to become far more fruitful. Because finally we got the right people in the right places doing the right things, and that is the genius of God. You see, the way it used to be in Old Testament times, before Jesus came on the scene, that God's Spirit worked through a select group of people. They were called priests. In the Old Testament time, priests served as a mediator, the go-between God and man. The average person did not have a direct line to God. They had to go through the priests. But then Jesus arrives on the scene, and he starts saying things like, "Behold, I make all things new." And he turns the entire religious culture on its ear, upside down. He starts making these kind of statements, and he's looking at normal people when he says this kind of stuff. I mean, he's just looking out at crowds of people, and he says to them, "You are the light of the world." "Yes, you are. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you," he'd say. "You are to love your neighbor as yourself. You are to love your enemies and those that spitefully use you. You are to show my love everywhere you go." Yeah, you are to be my witnesses in all the world. And he would say that to these ordinary people with the official, professional, religious priest standing right there. Their mouth is on the ground. And then one day, that day was called the Day of Pentecost. A bunch of these just non-priestly type of followers of Jesus, just ordinary people, had gathered together in this place they called the upper room so that they could pray. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit invaded them, blew into their lives like flaming tongues of fire, symbolizing the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it settled upon everybody's head. It landed upon them, not just a select few of the super spiritual, but on all of them. And that moment, that was the birthing, that was the beginning of the New Testament church. We have to go back to the book of Acts to see, how did we start? How far have we fallen from where we were at in the beginning? Because the message at that moment is completely clear, and throughout the book of Acts and throughout the Pauline epistles and the rest of the New Testament, everybody from that point on, when Jesus Christ died on the cross and the veil was rent in twain, ripped in half, from the Holy of Holies to the holy place where we could now enter right in any time we wanted to without even going through a priest, now all of a sudden, everybody's got direct access to God. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord and is saved can enter in, and they receive a supernatural power from the Holy Spirit that becomes available to each one of you. Every single Christian is meant to be living truly extraordinary lives. You say, "Well, that doesn't actually look like me." That's why I'm talking to you. Every Christian has been anointed as a priest to carry the love of God, the hope of God to this entire world. We've been called to be, I don't even know what you want. We've been called to be like superhero Christians, not stagnant, stuck Christians. Just the opposite of that. Just imagine, this isn't hard for me to do, but man, I want you to imagine everybody here at 180 Church. All of a sudden you get the revelation. The Spirit of the living God is in you, and you become, in all humility, you become like a superhero. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, I can just see, you know, all of a sudden, Rick, "Here I am to save the day!" Using his gifts and stepping forward on that. Imagine, we'd have church facility repairman George to the rescue. Oh, George Waffle, what are you doing up there? That would be fabulous. Quick, Hand me a pen. I'm the encouragement card writing woman, Barb Rawls. Da-da! There, woo! Barb, that is incredible. My goodness. Let's go over to the kids' campus. Let's get into the classroom. We'll probably find over there children loving Sunday school teacher, Millie Esslinger. Whoa, Mill, that is awesome. Wonderful. If we could just see ourselves, if we could see one another, not just as ordinary people, stop being ordinary, press in for the extraordinary, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Some of you say, well, I don't want to look like that. Well, quit being petty. You get the idea, okay? By the way, does somebody remember back when they had some kind of a movie about a superhero family? The Incredibles. Okay, The Incredibles. What if we all saw ourselves as the 180 church family called The Incredibles? Just supernaturally empowered by the Spirit of the living God, going out to tasks and missions that the Holy Spirit has before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, we talked about that last week, Ephesians 2:10. Do you remember? What if we saw ourselves as the Bible says we are? We saw ourselves through God's eyes, and we actually discovered we are priests. And what if priests, as priests, we started holding ourselves accountable to the way we used to hold the preacher on the pedestal accountable? What if we decided, you know what, the Bible says that I'm a priest, that I've been given supernatural gifts. Would we take our role more seriously? What if we just decided, you know what? I'm about 50% clueless of what that guy's talking about right now, but I'd love to discover what my gifts are. I'd love to learn how to use my gifts to be able to serve other people. I don't even know about living beyond myself to help other people. I'm trying to figure out how they can help me. But what if we started living a different way? Wouldn't that be truly incredible? Really? It would be revival. We would turn our world right side up. I really don't want to go into church history too much. It goes back many centuries ago. Constantine was the leader. He declared Christianity to be the national religion. But at that point in time, they decided that they needed to hire a few professional Christians. And these professional Christians would watch over the rest of the ordinary Christians, and these professional priests would kind of carry out the priestly duties, and everybody else would sit on the sidelines and kind of critique the pastor, the priest, see how he's doing. When I say sit on the sidelines, I'm talking about sitting on their hands. I'm talking about sitting on their gifts. I'm talking about sitting on the very things that God had designed us to use. And we just watch the pastors perform, the priests perform. And now all of a sudden somebody's standing up here and asking you to stop doing that and to actually get involved. Don't say, well, you're the clergy. What do you think we're paying you for? We're just the lay person here. The clergy administer the ministers. Who's the ministers? We are. Thank you. A little weak there, but you get the point. You need to know. I mean, I think it's a tragedy that so many Christians are still designed and wired this way. And I think, personally, and I can back it up with the Bible, so it's not just personally, that the reason there are so many hugely unfulfilled Christians, the reason that the church is limping along, powerless, frustrated, and ineffective, is because we're not following the biblical model of the way God designed the church. And I am calling us back. Now, if you've been here very long, you know I do this pretty regularly. I mean, we have a whole class on this, Discover Your Shape. Because I'm passionate about this. When my dad died, I went back to the Bible and said, hey, I didn't see anything good that came out of that. It's got to be the body of Christ. It's not go, pastor, go. We got such a good pastor. He's like omnipresent. He's just doing everything. That is not biblical. And there is not 1 ounce of Bible that will even support that kind of a structure, the kind of a structure that is so common today. You got to go back and say, okay, God, when you birthed the church, how did you put this thing together? What did you have in mind for the church? And there is a, it's the wrong word, but ton, there is a lot of evidence that says that the way I'm telling you the church should operate is the way that God designed it to operate. That God has gifted and He has called every one of us to be a priest. I'm talking about ordinary people. I'm talking about people like you and the people around you, just with the Spirit of the living God inside of you. Now you're living an extraordinary life. The old is gone. The new has come. It's like, whoa, I don't even recognize myself anymore. I become like a real player on a real team that's really changing our world for the glory of God. And unless you think that I'm making this up, you know, flip over in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, or look at the scripture right up here. You are a chosen people, a royal, say it, priesthood. Who is? You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness, thank you, Jesus, and into His wonderful light. And guess what? Of course, when Peter wrote that, he was speaking at a pastor's conference, I bet, huh? Sorry, he was writing to everyday, ordinary people just like us. There is no distinction between a few elite spiritual superstars and the rest of us. All of us have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ as we asked Him to come into our hearts and He becomes our leader. We've all been chosen and called by Him. We've been saved and redeemed and, I don't know, recycled, if you will. We've been equipped and we've been gifted to make this wonderful light in the midst of this darkness, the light of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, to change the world through us. Every once in a while, I play golf very, very seldom. Very, very poorly. Well, thanks for bringing that up, David. Usually when people say, do you golf? I say, very, very little. And they say, well, you know, what's your score? How do you golf? And I said, I generally play in the... If you don't golf, this means nothing to you. So it almost means nothing to me. But I tell people I usually golf in the... somewhere in the 70s and maybe down into the upper 60s. I said, if it gets any colder than that, I don't play. Yeah, I suck, I do. I'll take 50 golf balls out there. I just start throwing them. Don't even tell me about the rules. Don't get me started, okay? So here I am with this foursome, and it's looking like it's getting ready to rain. It actually starts to sprinkle, and one of the guys looks over me and says, hey, pastor, why don't you do something about this rain? You got some strings there? You know, that kind of a conversation. I just look at him and say, hey, I'm just in sales. I am not in management. Okay, let's be clear on that. And I want to tell you, I mean, I've got no special connections. That is not biblical. I am connected because Jesus Christ has forgiven me of my sins. And that's special enough for me right now. I've been grafted in. I've been adopted into the family of God. But I've got no special powers or connection with God. I've been given some gifts. Any guesses? Like maybe teaching, leading, encouraging, equipping. But, you know, that's about it for me. And God's called me to use those gifts to bless, to build up, to edify his kids so that we can then together, everybody doing what I'm doing, discovering their gifts and using them, and together we change the world. You've probably got totally different gifts than I've got. You've probably got totally different passions than I got. You know, something we don't want in this church is to have everybody the same. I honor the principle, the godly principle of individuality. That's what makes us so strong. The thing that we have in common is that if you've got Jesus Christ in your heart, you've become a priest with an extremely high calling. And there's a purpose that you're on this earth, and we want to help you to discover it so that you can live it out. So when you stand before God, you can say, as the Apostle Paul says, I've run the race, I fought the fight, I finished the course, there's now laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which I will receive on that day. Football's preseason's here, right? So let me just give you a little story about a football game. The football game was between... Can we change it just a little bit? How about large animals and small animals?
There you go.
Okay. It was no contest. Duh. And the large animals get the ball. It's the rhino that gets it. He starts thundering down the field. There's butterflies coming after him like this. You know, there's all kinds. It's a mess. Squirrels are trying to climb around and tackle him. Down he goes. It's the rhino that scores. It's the whatever, elephant, the lion. You know, it's ugly. It's halftime. Oh, yeah, the small animals had lost the coin toss, so now they had to kick off for the beginning of the third quarter. They do the kickoff. The rhino gets the ball. Makes one step, he's on the 1 yard line, and all of a sudden, boom, down he goes. Whoa, what was that? Next one, they hand off to the elephant. Boom, down he goes. Woo, what is going on here? Let's do a passing play. They give it to the gorilla, he steps back in the end zone. Boom, he gets hit so hard, he goes down, there's a fumble. Everybody piles on the ball. The referees start pulling everybody off. Are you still with me? This is church. Start pulling everybody off. And at the bottom of the pile on top of the ball, there is a centipede. Touchdown, small animals! Woo! And his whole team says to him, hey, was that you that tackled the rhino? Yeah, that was me. Was that you that tackled the elephant? Yeah, that was me. Was that you that... Yeah, that was me. Where were you at in the first half? I was busy putting my shoes on. Let's make a point out of that, okay? Steve's getting it. Centipede. Okay, there you go. Thank you, Steve. Good. Hey, look up here. There's no such thing as a small player in the family of God. There's absolutely not. And I got to just talk about that for a minute because you have no idea how significant you are. You have no idea the supernatural power that the Spirit of the living God has placed inside of you when he came into your life. We are all teammates. And God has given all of us some uniquenesses and some giftedness. And I'm telling you, when you sit out of the game, you're hurting us all. You really are. I want to point your attention to a verse in the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. God has given, matter of fact, let's just read it out loud. Come on. God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through who? You. When we use the gifts that God has given each one of us, it allows his generosity to flow through us to bless the rest of the body of Christ and to change the world. The church starts to flourish when everybody, man and woman's up and says, what are the gifts that you've given me, God, and how can I use them? Sometimes families come to 180 Church and they've got these really high expectations of our church staff. you know, everything to everybody. One of those areas, I was just thinking of the different people who have been in the hospital today, this week. That's one of the areas of expectations that many people in the pews have of the pastors. You know, you're the pastor, you're the professional, you're the minister, you should be stopping by and visiting us in the hospital. Now, I want to be clear, I don't know of anyone on our staff that would mind doing that. Their hearts are right. They would love to be doing that. We love to brighten each other's day. That's not a hardship for us. But I'm telling you what, there's other people in this church that are just, let's just call us ordinary people. And their gift is mercy, and their gift is encouragement, and their gift is faith, and they are really, really, really good at visitation. They love to go beyond themselves and to stand with people that are hurting and struggling. We have people who absolutely love to do visitation. And they bring with them joy and peace and prayers and comfort. I mean, they are unbelievably wonderful. It's awesome to be a part of that church family. My wife can tell you about people in this church that have come and visited that. George can tell you about people in this church that have come and visited that. All around this church. And many of you are those people that come. You just sanguinely knock on the door and say, "Hi, how are you doing? I came here to just encourage you, just to be a presence here," and you bring Jesus with you, and you absolutely love doing it, and when you leave there, there has been something of a deposit of the Spirit of the living God that's left in that place. Guess what, everybody? We had a funeral for superstar pastors at this church several years ago. That's not the way God put us together. Look at it again right there, verse 10. Look at that. God has given gifts to each one of you from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. You. All of us. Circle that in your notes. Circle the word variety. And circle the word generosity. Let the variety, let the generosity flow through who's you? Men, through the women, through the boys, through the girls, through the teenagers, through everybody. Just let it flow through you. That is not a new concept right there. This is the original, incredible, brilliant design made by God Almighty. And every one of us benefit when every one of us get a hold of this thing and start living beyond ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, start with verse 4. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere. But they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself, He's behind it all. Check this out. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. I love that, don't you? Everyone gets in on this. Everyone benefits from doing this. There's all kinds of gifts in this room that have been handed out by the Spirit of the living God to all kinds of people. And the variety of gifts that are right here, right now, are wonderful. Isn't that awesome? A grace gift, a charismata, a gift of grace has been given to every person in this room. To you, to you, to you, to you, to you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Every one of us. For the benefit of all. Everybody gets in on it. And the generosity of God flows through all of us as we love one another. Loving God by loving one another. What is exactly a spiritual gift? Anybody help me with that? We put it up on the screen here. It's a special ability that God gives to each of His children, should be a capital H because that's God, so that together they, that's who? Who's they? Thank you, Tyrone. They can advance his purposes, capital H, in this world. I always capitalize the first letter of the name of God. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there is none like him. Everybody gets in on this. Everybody benefits from this. All these gifts that God has put in our lives so that his Spirit can flow through us to touch all of his other kids. Oh my goodness. This is such a blessing if we can just get out of ourselves, get out of our way. I watch people that try to get fulfilled. More money, more toys, more stuff. I'll tell you how you get more fulfilled is by giving your life away. And when you start to discover what your gifts are and you start implementing them within the body of Christ, you benefit. And this church family benefits. And ultimately the world benefits, because remember what I said? Every one of the gifts is a reflection of a different aspect of Jesus Christ. So when we're flowing in our gifts, people are seeing the different facets of who God is, and they're seeing it through us. They're seeing the truth of God through us. They're seeing the generosity of God through us. They're seeing the compassion of God through us. They're seeing the hope of God through us. They're actually seeing Father God through the body of Christ as we begin to flow in the gifts that God has given us. Are we doing all right?
Yeah.
Sure. So what we're responsible for is to identify our gifts and then to mature in them. How do you mature in using your gifts? By using them, by practicing them on a regular basis, by developing those gifts. You may not be very good at it at the beginning, but you love doing it.
That's right.
Anthony's back there trying to show his muscle off, but it's a good point. You develop your muscles by exercising them, by using them. So here we are. We've asked Jesus Christ to come into our heart, and he has. He deposits his Spirit within us. These gifts that get activated, that come alive. He's telling us, now give your life away. So an example, here I'm standing up here, obviously using one of my gifts, the gift of teaching. And I'm responsible by the Word of God to help develop the gifts inside of you. So I use this gift of teaching to be able to do this. Some of my friends, colleagues at minister say, why do you work so hard on your messages? Why don't you just get up and let the Holy Spirit move you? And I appreciate their sincerity. They want to stand up and he'll just fill their mouth. I work on these messages on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and I'm studying and I'm writing and I'm reading and I'm poring over Scripture and I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm listening to the voice of God and trying to come up with some creative ways to make the message applicable to connect with where you live, because I believe that God's going to hold me accountable for developing the gifts that he's given you. I didn't choose my gift. You didn't choose your gift. Gifts! Gifts, they just were given to you by God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just verse 11 right there. Is everybody okay that we're using so much scripture?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sarcastic. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. I'm glad God didn't give us a catalog and say, okay, you know, go through there and pick out your top three gifts and rank them in the order of preference that you'd like to have me given to you in, and we'll see what happens. It's kind of like a Christmas stocking, you know. I'll surprise you with which ones I give you. You tell me which ones you want. No, we've got absolutely no control over the gifts that God has given us, and I'm telling you, that's a really good thing. Now, some of you are saying, well, why is that a really good thing? Because I just like to think that God knows us a whole lot better than we know ourselves.
Amen.
So it's all about trusting him. I really think maybe it's about believing that God knows the bigger picture, even though we can't see it right now. Have you figured this out? Who you are and how God flows through you. This is amazing. He's given us all these different kinds of personality types. Who's an extrovert in here? Extroverts, outgoing people? Sure, your hand just shoots right up. Yeah. They start cheering for themselves. That's me. I'm an extrovert. Yeah. Introverts, any introverts here? Introverts are like, do I have to raise my hand? Yeah. Anybody in here who leads with your heart? You lead with your heart. You're emotional. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Any huggers in here? Huggers? Yeah. Look at all the huggers here. I love that. The huggers are generally the same people who are extroverts. Generally. Anybody here act like a sheet of plywood when one of these people come to hug you? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? So we've got this class here. I mean, we're so passionate. I am so passionate. Our team is so passionate. We believe this message to our core. That's why it's so important today. If you've not jumped in to discover spiritual maturity with Dick, you want to jump into that class. Even if you didn't sign up for it, you show up there at 2 o'clock because we're all about maturity. I don't know of another church that's got a 5-year spiritual maturity course where you grow and grow and grow and grow. We don't want 20-year-old, half-inch thick, deep Christians. We want Christians that are growing more every year, and we provide you a template to follow. So you just start off with discover spiritual maturity right here today. What is it? What does it look like? How do I get it? What are my disciplines? And then Dick will begin walking you through. You get a free 180 life journal when you go to this thing. Absolutely. It's our investment in you growing in Christ. He'll talk about OSL and everything else that we do around here to get you on track. And one of those classes after this class, first time we announced it was today, was Discover Your Shape. The Discover Your Shape, all wired up differently. It's the beauty of how God made us. And we need to discover what our shape is. What are our spiritual gifts? What's our heart? What's our ability? What's our personality? What are all of these things, our education that goes with that? And when you're able to get a hold of that and you're able to embrace that and you understand that God gave it to you as a gift for the rest of the body of Christ and he can flow through you, but you're uniquely you. Some people here have got the ability to sing and you knew you had the ability to sing at a very early age. You can just tell. Well, some of you don't too and you can just tell. It's like the time when I came up here, stood up here and sang a solo in the church. It really was horrendous. Nobody knew what to say. Finally, at the end of the service, Jerry Russ came up to me and put his arm around me. Just said, "Pastor, I just want to tell you that I'm so proud of you." I mean, that took a lot of courage to get up there and do that today. But whoever asked you to sing ought to be shot. I think he's just trying to encourage me, actually, you know. At least that's what I remember him saying, so, you know. Yeah. But it's true, isn't it? Some people have got the ability to put things together. They've got some nuts and some bolts, and they figure it out, and they put it together. You know, they don't bother looking at the instruction manual. They might look at a couple of pictures, but, I mean, they're just good at putting together. Most men think they have the ability. Some actually do. Some are actually really, really great problem solvers. So you just take the ability that God has given you. Now think about that. It's just one component. You take the ability that God has given you, but then you think about what your personality is. And then you add your own individual life experiences, all the things that you've gone through in life to that, all of your victories and all of your failures and all of the tragedies that you have experienced. That's what makes us so individualized. That's what makes us so unique. And then you take all of that that God has wrapped up in you. You see how effective you can be? How you can reach out and touch other people that nobody else could ever touch? After you go through Discover Spiritual Maturity today, what time does it start? 2 o'clock. Does it matter if you signed up for it or not? No? Be there. It did, but now I'm waiving that. And then you go through Discover Your Shape. You got to do these in orders, because if you don't understand discover spiritual maturity, you're not going to understand discover your shape. It's all about being mature. That's why you have been given that shape. I mean, come on. You tell me who's better to sit down with somebody going through a divorce than somebody who's gone through a divorce and experienced the grace and the life and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in the middle of that. You tell me who's better to sit down with some parents who are struggling with a prodigal child than somebody who's had a prodigal child and can sit down with them and talk to them about it. Somebody who's gone through tragedies in their own personal life and the healing touch of God has come over them, and now they're able to talk about what it is that they went through. See, we're not into keeping secrets here. We believe that all these things have happened and God brings healing so that we can reach back and help people forward with the same grace that we've received. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's right there. That's what we do. It's not like, well, I didn't want anybody to know. I'm embarrassed about that kind of thing. Get over it. That's your pride. False humility, which is worse than pride. You get healed so you can talk about it, so you can help people around you. Giving back. So here we are, trying to figure out how God has wired us up so that we can let his generosity flow through us in powerful ways. I mean, the maker of snowflakes, the maker of your body, the Lord God Almighty, this genius who put this entire plan together for us. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He's talking about the incredible design of the human body. And then he says, and the incredible design of your human body is actually a model for how God has put the church together. You get it? Look at your human body. It's a model for how he's created the church. Start with verse 25 right here. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our togetherness as a church. Every part, say it with me, every part dependent on every other part. There you go. The parts we mention and the parts that we don't, that's an important part. I'll come back to that. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. I can see some, Paul's talking, he said, I can see some people think that they're not very glamorous. They're not just out front where everybody can see what it is they're doing. They don't seem to get any attention for what it is that they're doing. There's a lot of gifts that are just, I don't even know what to call it. What do we call it? Behind the scenes type of gifts that just, they just don't get any attention. I think of Don Vincent Halen and all the work he does around here in doing janitorial work. When was the last time you were in the toilet and thank God somebody cleaned it? You weren't here on Friday when he did it, or Tuesday when he did it, or when the trash was emptied, or when the things were vacuumed up. You notice it if it didn't get done. Boy, this place is a mess. We don't feel good about that. But when it's not, it's like, who came in here and volunteered their time to do that kind of thing? Oh, it's enough of that. Some of you got the gift of helps. You do. And most people that have the gift of helps are completely behind the scene. Nobody knows. And many of them just absolutely love it that way. They don't want anybody to know. Every once in a while, the devil comes by and we jump into the, it's a deadly game, that comparison game. You know, well, look at their gifts. I wish I could do what they could do. We compare our gifts with other people's gifts. And there's no such thing as A-listers and B-listers when it comes to our gifts, okay? There's no such thing as your name brand gifts versus your generic gifts. I mean, all of us just need to embrace who we are, discover who we are, and then just fully embrace it and use it, because God gave you that gift. He knows you. He's wired you up. He's made you so incredibly you. And when we all do that, discover our gifts and put them to work, nobody gets overused or overworked anymore. Nobody burns out anymore. Everybody's happy and flourishing and vivacious and loving and giving. You ever seen somebody who has the gift of hospitality function in their gift of hospitality? And you go, whoa, that person is awesome. Yeah, because they're functioning in their gift. And when that person is functioning in their gift, and they see how open they are, and how friendly they are, and how inclusive they are, they see how Jesus is as we function in our gift. The person that goes out to visit the sick person, the dying person, the person with cancer, the person in jail. People see that and it reminds them of a God who is full of compassion because they're seeing the compassion through you. Somebody writes a song. Somebody sings a song. Somebody does a drama. It reminds them of a God who is so creative. Remember what we just read there? Each person is given something to show how God is. They see God through us moving in our gifts, giving ourselves away. It was several years ago now that Time Magazine, I kept it in my file, reported they had just completed a 6-year study about secrets of happiness. For 6 years, there had been a group of researchers who had been doing research. The question was, what makes people happy? And it completely, that's early, but it completely just confirmed the fact of what God had been saying a long time ago. You know what the research showed you do now? This is a quote right here from Time Magazine. This is what their research showed. The happiest people are people of faith. More specifically, people who have a relationship with Jesus Christ are the happiest people in the world. That's what their research showed. Come on! That's you! Hallelujah! That just blessed my soul. That gets published. Now, who would say there are times that I don't act like that? There's times that I don't feel like that. But you know what else? Wow. People who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the happiest people are people of faith. More specifically, people who have a relationship with Jesus Christ are the happiest people in the world. Wow! They see their life with Jesus Christ as something that's meant to be given away, not just taking, 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 taking. That's when you really get happy. Mother Teresa, you heard me quote about Mother Teresa last week also, and it There's some things there about that woman that were just absolutely amazing. She carried around with her what she called her business cards. They were actually 5 index cards. And on each index card, she had written a singular phrase. I liked it so much, I put it in there. I see the progression. I buy into this lock, stock, and barrel. On her first index card, she wrote the words, "The fruit of silence is prayer." Shh. And then you can start praying and talking to God. The fruit of silence. Number 2, the second card was the fruit of prayer is faith. So silence, get alone, get quiet with God. Jesus did it, and he was found praying. And then out of that prayer, his faith gets built up. And then the third card, the fruit of faith is love. The fourth card, the fruit of love is service. And the fifth card, the fruit of service. The fruit of service. The fruit of service. The fruit of giving yourself away is peace. When you decide that you're going to live beyond yourself, you're going to let God use your life. You're going to be so happy, so fulfilled, beyond what you could have ever imagined any other way. And I know those of you that are living a life that you're giving away, you've discovered exactly what it is I'm talking to you about, and I don't even need to explain it to you. You just say, there's a rush that happens in my life when I know that I'm being used by Almighty God. God himself fills me with a sense of joy, fills me with a sense of purpose like I never had in my whole life when I was just out there trying to get things for myself. It's a whole new life. This church is an amazing place. You are an amazing people. I mean, just imagine all of us using our God-given gifts, the right gift in the right place with the right people and the right passion that comes out of that at the right time. Well, and wouldn't it be amazing if just every single one of us, every single priest in here could just stand up and talk about how they're using their God-given spiritual gifts? I got to confess, that's a dream I got. I really do want that for every single one of you. just story after story after story of how you're in the sweet spot of God's calling, using the gifts and discovering that your personality and all those painful experiences, now they have a reason to it. Now you can see how God is using those to be positive in your life. And people are saying, man, that church, there's something special about that church. And I just say, way to go, superheroes. Woo, hallelujah. So inside of your bulletin, we did it one more week. The response last week was incredible. Thank you so much. But some of you weren't here last week. And it's just the 180 church volunteer opportunities. Now, I know that most of you have not taken Discover Your Shape, so you're not absolutely fully dialed in, but there are things that you look at that just make you excited. There's things that you look at that you just know, I'm good at that. I like doing that. It's not a special gift from God if you hate it. Somebody said to me, hey, you know what? I would give my life completely to Jesus, but I'm afraid he's going to call me to be a missionary in Africa. I said, he would never do that to the wonderful African people. He loves them too much. So one of your first clues is, do you like what it is that you're looking at right there? Just take a minute and look at that. Thank you again for your responses last week. Some of you, as you're looking it over, you might say, oh, you know what? I missed an item here, an item there. But just take some time right now, because I'm going to ask you to drop those in the offering plate at the end of our time together here. We are a body of believers. This may be different than anything you've ever heard, but it is flat out scripture. And it'll change the course and the direction of your life. I guarantee it, it will. Would you stand with me? Just stand up. I want to pray over us. There you go. Really, Jesus, on a regular basis, I just stand amazed at the way you use us. Wow. If we'll just be open for business. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for what you've done in my life. And I want to thank you for what you will be doing in every person's life here. If we will just surrender, will you surrender? Some of you are scared to death of that word. You think you're going to get used and abused. God doesn't do that to you, and we won't either. Lord, I just want to go on record. I want to thank you in front of all these wonderful people, for those people that are here that are serving your bride so faithfully, that are using their gifts, just pouring themselves out. Many of them are behind the scenes, but they've seen the opportunity, they've stepped up. They've used the gifts because they know you want us to. That's the reason you gave them to us. There's many that have walked off just a sense of, man, this is what I was made for. That felt so good. And I pray for everybody that's in the range of my voice yet, who's yet to discover the why behind why they're here, that are yet to discover the gifts that you've put within them, the way that you've wired them up, that have yet to discover, as they look back over the pain, the tragedy, the joy of past experiences of their life, how you want to use that. I pray, Lord, that in the following weeks, there will be people that will decide they're going to jump in. They're going to jump in to discover maturity, spiritual maturity. They're going to jump into that today. They're going to bypass their nap or their plans. They're going to put you first. For those that you just need to write on your connection card, put me down for Discover My Shape. I want to know the God-given shape, and we'll put you down for that class. Lord, I'm just praying for people here that just breathe on us right now, Lord, that we could see that you can make each one of us have an extraordinary life. You can take the ordinary, and by the breath of your Spirit, you make us extraordinary. We become kings and priests. Imagine that. I pray that right now, that the imagination of the Spirit of God would come upon us, that we could begin to see ourselves not as we were, but as you, what you want to do with us, what you've called us. Thanks for the time that we've had here together, Lord. Thank you for being here, Spirit of the Living God, for speaking to us. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here today and you've been wondering, isn't there something more? There's got to be something more. The answer is just a resounding yes. So much more. And it starts with you asking Jesus to forgive you of your sins. He won't rant and rave and condemn you. He will just come in with his gentle Holy Spirit and begin to clean house, clean out the dark, clean out the black mold, clean out the pain, clean out underneath in this cellar, in the attic, in the closets of your life. Take all the sin that has been it's been killing you. But now he's coming into your heart. If that's you, I want you just to raise your hand. You say, I want that today. Just lift your hand right up in the air. Good for you. Good for you. Good for you. Good for you. Others, you're just lifting your hand right up in the air. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that touch. Anybody else? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's a brand new day. Let it be. Just thank God for a brand new beginning. In front of the sound system, we have a yes table there because you said yes today. There's Bibles. There's all kinds of material there. Natalie and Anthony are there. You can come to our Tuesday morning Q&A time, Tuesday evening Q&A time up here at Denny's at 6:30. Just come. Ask questions. It's a new day. Let it be a new day. Some of you are Christians and you've had that old mentality that I was talking about, that unbiblical mindset of just coming to church to be entertained, coming to church to be a spectator, coming to church to fulfill an obligation rather than to discover who you are and use the gifts that God has given you for the betterment of the body of Christ, for being a part of the body, a giving, living, vibrant part of the body. It's a cancer that is independent and sucks away. That's cancer. It's life that feeds and fills and flows through us. That's what we want here. Lord, I bless these people. I thank you for these people. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Hey, let's do this. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings right now. And you know what we do on the first Sunday of every month? Whoa, we're not done yet. What we do on the first Sunday of every month is we pray over this offering, because as you tithe, this church tithes. You know, this is a tithing church. We don't tell you to do something that we don't do. We believe, man, if it came from God to tithe, then it's good all the way down. We don't hire people on staff at this church if they don't tithe. They got to be tithers. They got to believe the way they live, the way they receive their income is also the way that they give. This church is a tithing church. This staff is a tithing staff. Because we have people that tithe and we all want to follow under the blessing of the Lord, right? Amen. So just let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this church. We thank you for the way we're committed to reaching out and touching our community and touching our world, the way that we're going to let our light shine. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now I pray that you would bless every gift and every giver, regardless of how they give. Maybe it's through push pay. Maybe it's ACH through their bank account. Maybe they bring a check here today. However it is, bless.